locked into the zone with Diamonds and Roses podcast, bringing you one step closer to Pacific Northwest and Southwest Canada baseball news, stories, and history. Proudly fueled by Baseballism, their America's brand, and Devo Bat Company, professional wood grain bats for the love of the game. And now your hosts, Ben and Travis.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Diamonds and Roses podcast, season 4, episode 5. We are talking to our brethren from the north, Mr. Jim Swanson, one of the managing officers of the Nanaimo Night Owls and the Victoria Harbor Cats. We've been following with Jim for over these last few years here now. And especially during COVID, because we know that these COVID times have been crazy, and Jim's well aware of it, as baseball has been postponed for his two teams, especially opening, the early opening for their Nanaimo last year. So they had to postpone it a year for their inaugural season, and Victoria for 2 years. So without further ado, I want to welcome Jim Swanson to the episode. Jim, how you doing, sir?
Good, Ben. How you doing, buddy?
You know, I'm doing great. It's always good to talk some baseball, especially with my friends from the north. And you must be getting excited. It's just right around the corner to get back opening up.
Well, this is audio, so I can't see you, but I'm pretty sure you got to be wearing a Nanaimo Night Owls hat, because I know how excited you are right now.
Well, I've got plenty of Nanaimo stuff that is between shirts, hats, I've got plenty of Nanaimo stuff that I'm really looking forward to seeing this inaugural season for Nanaimo.
But do you have the Beat Victoria shirt yet? Do you have that one?
Oh, no, I don't have the Beat Victoria shirt yet. Maybe I know I've got plans that I've officially announced. I've got plans to come to Victoria to see the Harbor Cats play and Nanaimo play. So I go to Victoria, and then I'm going to go to Nanaimo. Should I dare wear my Beat Victoria shirt?
As I think people who know me know by now, I have to make a very wise clothing choice every morning as to where I'm going to be and who I'm going to be representing. So, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of work, obviously, getting things going after COVID again and getting a brand new team off the ground. But it's also very exciting to be able to really lead this baseball effort on Vancouver Island. We're about to take over, and it's going to be a lot of fun to do it. And you know, I got my Night Owl stuff when I head to Nanaimo on those days, and when I head back south into the city, I'm wearing Victoria Harbor Cat stuff. And when I've messed it up, as I have once or twice, I'm sure to hear about it from the staff. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things I just want to bring up real quick, Nanaimo's not the only team that had their inaugural season kind of postponed. You have some other teams that are also coming into this that are going to start their inaugural seasons this year right along with you. So you got some other people that are there with you, but there's a lot of, you don't see some of that effort that you've put into this Nanaimo team like the others. Like, you guys have put a lot of effort. You got a lot of the city's involvement that's been, first and foremost, like, it's been out in front of us. Let's just say that we are seeing the stuff. And I'm talking about the stuff that's been out in front of us. I'm not saying that these other teams haven't put in the work and haven't put in the effort, but what we have seen visually over the last couple of years, there's been a lot that's there. Now let's talk about this inaugural season for Nanaimo. You got a brand new coaching staff that's coming in from all different parts of the world. You've got players that are coming in from Canada and the United States. What has this effort been to then get this team going with these different elements and with COVID?
Well, you bring up we could talk, that answer could take me an hour on a lot of the factors. Excuse me. But first and foremost, the last time the West Coast League was really operating was 2019. I mean, we've been operating since then and getting through this in 2021. Was a USA only season, so didn't include the Canadian teams. But the last time we were at full strength, nobody in the penalty box, as it were. It was 2019, and we were 12 teams. We're now at 16 teams, which I think says a lot about the league, about the product, about the potential of the product. I don't even think we scratched the surface in so many ways on the potential of our product. I'm really hoping to see the right kind of growth happen with the right approaches. But what's exciting to me is to know that we've really grown, especially in Canada. So we've added the Springfield Drifters, you know, in Oregon, you know, next door to Eugene. We've added the Edmonton Riverhawks, which I'm very excited with the way they're operating. And that's the best stadium in our league, bar none. Every single team in our league is jealous of that park, that's for sure. And then you've added Kamloops, the Northpaws. And, you know, Edmonton and Kamloops are just doing a great job of operating already, and they haven't even thrown a pitch. And mm-hmm. and I see the things that they're doing, and I'm talking to them on a semi-regular basis and understanding the people they put in place. And it's just really a full-out effort by them to be among the top operators in our league, you know, right from the beginning. And I truly believe they'll be in that top five right from the beginning. And you know what, that puts the right kind of pressure on Nanaimo, and it puts the right kind of pressure on Victoria to continue to be in the lane that we're in. You know, I don't want to slow down from the lane that we're in Victoria. We lead the league in attendance. The numbers are real. The impact on the community is real. The success on the field is real. The success with recruiting for not just our players, but our coaching staff. I mean, look at that coaching staff in Victoria, 31 years of big league experience between Todd Haney, Mark McIsaac, and Greg Swindell. It's just an all-star crew. And then yet, you know, you ask me and away from Victoria, and I'll tell you that the Nanaimo coaching staff that you alluded to is going to be among the best in collegiate summer baseball. Greg Frady is an absolute star as a coach, you know, experience on so many levels. You can't even imagine it for him, to come to us and insist, on a 5-year contract out of the gate is pretty exciting for me. I wanted 2 years from him. He said, no, let's do 5. So, and then Gorham Highmuller, our pitching coach, you know, this is a guy 36 years in the minor leagues. His last job was with the Padres. He was the co-pitching coordinator for the Padres, and he was doing that job with Trevor Hoffman. Those are the co-pitching coordinators for the Padres. So this is a guy who pitched in the big leagues for 2 years, struck out Reggie Jackson twice in a game. He's got more stories than you'd have time for podcasts, frankly, Ben. And it's a lot of fun for us to put it together. Now, you mentioned COVID. I mean, it killed the whole 2020 season, and then in Canada, it killed 2021. So essentially, between Victoria losing 2 years and Nanaimo losing its supposed inaugural year, we've lost 3 seasons. And I think it should speak a lot to the operation, to our backing, to our ownership group. I tip my caps to all my partners that we've kept going through all this and are ready to get going to start the 2022 season. Should probably give an indication to anybody who's wondering if we'll stub our toe or fail at some point that if COVID couldn't kill us, then I don't think anything else should. But, you know, in a much more positive sense, it's the excitement in Victoria of, you know, the growth in our season ticket numbers through COVID, which just seems backwards, but it's a fact. Yeah, we've seen a significant growth in our season tickets through COVID. And through COVID, we had a grand total of 4 seats that asked for refunds, and they're all back, which is outstanding. And then in Nanaimo, you know, people are still wondering exactly what this is, but they're on the faith of what's happened in Victoria and around the league. They're buying in right from the beginning. Strong corporate to begin with. The city has been absolutely unbelievable. It's going to be up to day one and even partway into the season before all the improvements of phase one are done. I keep telling our staff to just be mindful of the fact that there will be wet paint on opening day. That's just how it's going to be. And we got to roll with it. It's just kind of like not having your favorite glove to start the season, but you get given another glove, you still got to go play.
Yeah.
And so we're going to go play, and we're going to be doing it with a lot of excitement and with a lot of backing in the community. And people are really eager to see Nanaimo in this. And there's a fun rivalry part with Nanaimo and Victoria too. If Victoria has something, Nanaimo wants it. And it's like a little brother syndrome almost. And Nanaimo doesn't just want it. He wants to be better at it. And I got that message right away from the mayor and from other people in the city of Nanaimo, that just being on the field isn't going to be good enough. And that's the exact way we're approaching this. This is going to be a strong team, we think, to start off with. And I know Victoria will be strong, and those two teams and the products off the field will be a lot for people to get excited mm-hmm. about.
Yeah, and I want to jump back in to talk about what I mean by Nanaimo in your group being more out there and more raising that awareness about what's gone on with this team, because the city of Nanaimo, which I want to say that they've done an amazing job. They've committed to this team and they've committed to the city. You know, there's been new lighting put in at the stadium. They've torn down, which I'm very sad about, even though I've never personally been there to see it, but I know the story about it. The big green monster that was in right field, those 70 something sheets of 3/4-inch plywood that came across the ferry. I remember that story and absolutely love it. But there's that story behind it and the things that they've done to the ball field. It's and to the they're putting in new seats. They've, you know, fixed cracks and everything, lighting. There's just been a lot that's gone on that the city's done in Nanaimo. I mean, and you're talking about more that still needs to be done to that stadium to get it just to the point where it's finalized, at least on the short term, in case there's anything that else that comes up. So I just wanted to reemphasize that's the things that you're seeing forefront here. But what, you know, you're kind of constantly communicating with the city about this upcoming season. You know, you're still, I think at this point in the game, you're still looking to get seats put in, right?
Yeah, there's, you know, on the city side, I kind of liken it to the old story about bacon and eggs, right? Like the chicken participated, but the pig was all in. And, you know, not that I'm calling the city a pig by any stretch, but the city has completely been all in on this project, not just for baseball, but for the entire, what they're calling their stadium district, with a track, the Rotary Bowl, and the NDSS field, the turf field, and the seating, and the football team that plays in junior football afterwards. No question about it. But, you know, the city has committed a bunch of those things, but as a team, we've committed a ton of things as well. The new seating that's going in is something that we're putting in. The new PA system is something that we are putting in. Those are significant purchases. There's a lot of stuff to do with regards to the concession system and the point of sale system and beer and tenting and all the things that have to happen in order for a concession to work out of what is a really great old bone stadium, but with a very limited concession area. And then, you know, the other one is we've doubled the size of the dugouts. That's the first capital improvement project to that field in decades. And we're proud of the fact that we stepped forward to do that before we'd even signed on the lease for this league and for this team. And we're very excited about the fact that teams will be in a much more comfortable dugout situation from where they were, you know, before COVID, and, you know, put a pad of concrete, new railing in, new netting. I got to drive up to Campbell River to go pick up the netting, actually, because it's getting finished. The first cut of it was a little bit too big, so we're getting it adjusted so it's better for everybody. But, you know, everything that we've focused on has been about not just being ready for the West Coast League, but making it as strong and as improved a facility as we can for all the user groups. That's for the high school team, the men's league, the college team that plays in the CCBC, the minor baseball groups that play in there. It's going to be a pride point for everybody. The backstop used to be old chain link, old, you know, corroded, you know, gray chain link. It wasn't fun. You couldn't scout a game in it. You couldn't get a proper reading from the pitcher's mound to the plate using a stalker gun. Now it's the pro netting, and it's literally see-through. You're going to be able to see the game clearly, see the spin on the ball, see the distance it's traveling, and, you know, add in the effects of a sound system, add in the beer areas, add in new seating, add in the way the fencing has been done and lowered along the lines so more people could see the games. There will be a capacity of 2,000. And, you know, you mentioned the monster. That was a big part for everybody. There wasn't a single person that didn't want the monster to return. And the monster is returning. It will look the same green and color as it did before. It just won't be that you get slivers from running into it. So it's going to be padded. And, you know, probably for perspective for people who don't know Nanaimo or don't know what's happening there, the fencing system is the same system essentially as was used by the Field of Dreams game in Iowa last year. So yes, it's a chain link base, but it has padding that goes on it and windscreens and different things that go on it to make it nice and safe and to make it look more like a baseball stadium, which it in fact is. And, you know, the old bones have stayed, the new stuff is combined in, the lights are new, the brand new scoreboard. It's going to be a much better experience, I think, for fans and for players as well. The other thing the city's done is put a whole bunch of work into the infield, and we appreciate that. They put turfus and redid it. They screened out the old stuff that had been there in some cases for 46 years. And they're doing work and will continue to do work going into the future years to reshape the size of the infield grass, which just couldn't be done this year with the growing season. So just so many things going on, paving, different things happening that are going to make this a whole lot better than what it was previously.
Yeah. So for Nanaimo, you're essentially a couple of years ahead because you've had this time between when your inaugural season was supposed to be and then that postponement. So it kind of allowed for you to get that extra time for there to be more work and to make it a better, like more prepared, you could say, for your inaugural season in this year, correct?
No question. We didn't want to miss last year. There's no question. We would have made it happen. We would have made it a go. It would have been more challenging. Having more time has maybe been positive in that way now that it's behind us. But we've wanted to get going on this. There's no question. I'd like to think that our crew, our staff are quality enough and are smart enough that they could put this together, you know, anywhere and make this entertaining. And that's got to be the point. We can't guarantee that our team is going to win every game. We can't guarantee that our team is going to play well every night. That's baseball. Errors are up on the board in the major league stadium too, right? So mm-hmm. it's one of those things where we knew that it was going to be a challenge last year, and you know, things outside of our, it wasn't our choice to not play last year. It was others that made that choice, and it ended up being an inevitability for us. But you know, we're really excited to get going. In fact, you know, we'd be ready to go here in a couple of weeks. We're glad we have the couple more weeks that we have from when we're doing this interview right now, Ben, but I'm even more excited. You know, if we had a little bit more time too, I think we could make it even better, but we don't. And the fact is we just got to get ready to go.
So beyond the field and beyond like putting in concessions and things, there's additional things that you're like trying to get lined up here. And that one of those things includes getting some host families. You know, let's talk about Nanaimo and host families. And where do you, so, you know, this app, we're recording here on the 18th of April. This was going to come out in 2 weeks. So we're looking at the tail end of April when this is going to come out. So from the date that this comes out, how much time do you have left to get host families available if they're wanting to be a host family for a player?
It's an immediate thing. We have host families is going to be, and we knew two issues are going to be a challenge. Number one would be host families. The other one would be staffing at the ballpark, just with the labor market and the way things have played out and up here in BC, especially through COVID relief efforts and things to that nature. But host families is definitely a concern for us. It is in Victoria. It is in Nanaimo, and Victoria is an established market. You know, not everybody's as eager to welcome somebody from outside into their home at this moment. So we're certainly finding that as a bit of an issue. And, but you know, better to be addressing this here, as you say, you know, state the date, today than to be scrambling the week going into, this next year. And we're going to do everything we can. We're going to pull out all the stops. We're going to use every avenue and all the networks that we have to find people to stay. And actually one of the challenges has been finding housing for our coaches. We've found it in Nanaimo now. We're close on Victoria. But you know, that market up here in Victoria right now, the housing market has absolutely gone crazy. And you know, people are getting pretty good money for Airbnbs and for apartments. And you know, it's a challenging market right now to find housing if you're trying to move into the community, let alone, you know, something on a short-term level like this. So yeah, there's challenges, and there's going to be challenges going further into it. You know, it's But we think that we have the majority of things well underway. Our travel plans all done. Our our hotels and bus and we got baseballs, and we may need to order some more baseballs, but we can do that. The uniforms are all in for both teams and ready to go. Coaches are in place. The roster is maybe a little bigger than we'd like it to be at this moment, but we'll figure that out as we go forward as well. And we'll be in a good position where hopefully we can find everybody that needs a bed, a place to enjoy their time in both Nanaimo and Victoria.
So if I'm a potentially interested person or family that wants to be a host family to one of these players, what's your commitment to the host families as far as like safety for not only the host family, but what about the players? Like, what's your commitment? Like, what are your guys' plans in place for these players and the family?
Yeah, it's a great question. And you know what, because of the rules that are in place just across the border, and the rules that have been in place in order to suppress COVID, our players, our coaches have to be vaccinated because they just simply cannot cross the border without it. We can't get them an exception on that. That's way above my head and above my pay grade. So all the players coming to town, all the coaches coming to town will be fully vaccinated. We'll be wearing masks on the bus, it looks like, when we're traveling. I think we're going to look at different options when it comes to that. We're waiting out all the rules. We're going to follow all the rules. Provincial Health Office has done a good job of laying those out and probably being overcautious at times. But I think we can all hopefully understand why overcautious is a better policy than just kind of ignoring it. And, I think that's been a political thing and difficult for some people, but, I just don't know how the public health people can just do nothing. They'd be completely irresponsible to do nothing. And, and negligent really is the word. And, we're excited to follow through those rules because we think they make sense at this time in our lives and not something we ever anticipated in owning these teams that this would be a part of it. But it's something we're going to do. You have to remember, we announced Nanaimo on March the 5th of 2020, and basically the world, the NBA thing that happened in Utah, all that stuff happened on March the 12th, 13th, and March the 15th, the world kind of shut down. And so we were kind of taken off guard, right away from that. Now we adjust to what the reality is and getting to know what this virus does and where it is and how to best handle it. But one thing I think it's really positive is people have a sense that outdoors is safe because it is being outdoors at a stadium where the, big air and you're not in an HVAC type office system situation. And I think it's a really strong situation for people to understand exactly what it is that they're dealing with.
So outside of traveling for your two teams to play one another on the island, you have three other Canadian teams that you'll be able to play. Will that be easier from a COVID standpoint to go play in Canada than it would be to come over to mainland United States, because obviously you have to go through customs when you're coming into the United States and then when you're going back into Canada. But what about that international travel when you're going to mainland Canada from Victoria? Is that going to be a little bit easier for you, or is it going to be roughly the same if you're coming to mainland USA?
Roughly the same. We're gonna plan it as though we need a little extra time at the border. That's the only place it should be an issue potentially. But the one thing that you have to know is that in order to come into Canada right now, and we expect it to be this way until probably September, there's something called the Arrive Can app. Arrive Canada is what it's short for. And everybody's got to put that in and have that ready and be able to show a QR code that they get from that to show that they have done their vaccinations, which requires two vaccinations of any of the double shot vaccinations or one of the Johnson & Johnson. And it really is that simple. I've crossed the border now a couple of times in the last few weeks, and it's been very little issue and very little issue going down into the United States too. But you do have to have that. You're not going to get away without it. And nor are we going to allow any opening for that. I don't want to leave anybody behind at the border and have to be scrambling to go pick them up. And That's just really the case it is. But you know what? That's really been no different than what we've had been over the years anyways. When you have to cross the border with regularity, if you have any kind of a criminal record or a charge in your background, it can cause significant delays for that person to come through. They'll be flagged at the border. And there's different ways to describe that. But the basics is, you know, we tell every single player that comes to Victoria, they have to have their own health insurance from whichever jurisdiction they're from. They have to have a passport. That's just non-negotiable. You can't get away without a passport. And you have to not have a criminal record. We did have a player one year that didn't tell us about an issue he'd had that he was never actually formally charged, but it was sitting there on his record, and it caused us a delay at the border. And that player, you know, wasn't able to continue with us. So it's just not something that is something we don't have the power to impact, you know, border decisions or the criminal courts or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So it does help us, I guess you could say, to weed out some things when it comes to getting players in. But, you know, this will be no different. And we have had a couple of players that have backed out because they don't want to get vaccinated or they don't want to get the second dose. And, you know, that's up to them. I wish them luck in finding a different place, but that's not something that we can negotiate for them.
Okay. Now let's switch to Victoria. I mean, there's been some changes in Victoria. First of all, you know, you have a new GM in Victoria and yeah. Curtis. And I'm wondering, is he still going to be coaching, or is he stepped away from his coaching role there for the Harbor Cats?
And you didn't say his last name because you don't know how to say it, right? It's Pelche.
I was gonna destroy it, so that's why I went with Curtis.
Yeah, Curtis Pelche is our general manager. He has been on the bench. He's no longer going to be on the bench. He's going to be operating the ballpark along with Christian Stewart and with my wife Lori, and you know, they'll be leading the things at the ballpark, as I'll be in Nanaimo. Whenever Nanaimo's at home, I'll be at Nanaimo, and is how we're going to operate that. And, Curtis has done an amazing job, not just as a coach, and you look to the players he's influenced. Look at the year that Harrison Spahn is having with, Cal Baptist right now with the Lancers. He's having an amazing year, and he's the first one to give credit to Curtis for the work that he did with them, with what Todd worked with them as well. And Todd Haney, and that's been a really strong thing for us to continue on. But Curtis is certainly getting his coaching fix from running the Victoria Golden Tide of the Canadian College Baseball Conference. He's running that, you know, fall and spring, and then, you know, he'll look all dapper and spiffy at the ballpark, for Harbor Cats games, you know, late May through to August in the playoffs. So, you know, Curtis has done an amazing job for us. He came on, about 5 years ago now, I think it was, and really just wanted to earn his way into the organization, and look where he is now. And he's got the respect of everyone around him, and you know, being able to add him and add a significant piece and a significant person mm-hmm. in Chris Beveridge with our social and online presence, has really made a difference for us. It's no longer Jim and his BlackBerry growing our social media numbers, right? It's become a real thing, and we're excited about it. You know, we think there's room to grow in a lot of these areas, especially our social media numbers could certainly still grow. But it's about having an impact with the numbers you have as well. And Curtis is doing a great job of leading the crew in that way and allowing me the freedom to make sure that Nanaimo, and working with Tina and Ray and Kent and everybody up there has been a lot of fun.
Yeah. So what else can we expect different this year in Victoria? And I think we had talked, one thing that I know of that we also talked about was there's going to be no zip line, which I am very bummed about because I wanted to do the zip line when I come up in June, but there's going to be no zip line.
Yeah. The zip line is a real addition in 2019, but one of the things was it was a real late to the season completion, and we didn't really get a chance to market it the way that we wanted to. And we just made a decision on this sometime in March that, you know, just the questions about what's going to happen, about sanitization, about the ability to do those kind of activities, that it was probably just better to go, you know, straight at what we do best, which is the ballpark, which is the baseball, which is all those things, and do those things, you know. It's the right decision for this year, as we just get back on our feet, which I think is the most important part. It's not a cost consideration. It's not a cost factor. It's it's just making sure that we really focus on the things that we're famous for. And that's a great ballpark experience. That's our mascot running around. It's food trucks and food experience. And it's affordable family entertainment. And that's what we're making sure that we do.
Yeah. It's going to be fun to go out and visit and, you know, do lots of things there in Victoria and watch game day. I can't wait to get up there this summer and see the team. Is there anything else new that's coming to the stadium, or can, you know, those residents and those people who are fans, diehard fans of Victoria, can they expect for the most part the same thing that they've experienced in every year that they've been able to go to the ballpark?
I think what people have told us is they want us to be back, and they're a little nostalgic. You know, we haven't played a game this decade, right? So hard to believe that's the case, but you know, they want us to come back and do what we do. And so there's three fireworks nights, which are nicely spread out throughout the season. Those games really spike in attendance in a major, major way. You know, we're going to do some things. We've dropped some guys out of the sky, parachutes before. We'll maybe do that again. There's some things I don't want to let out a little bit at this moment, but we're going to do the things, you know, that make it for fun. All the things that are going on between the innings, all the things flying up in the crowd, for people to grab and take home, all the prizes, all the different things. We're excited to pull all those things off. And you know, a lot of this work is getting done right now, Ben. It's going to be a busy week. Actually, the rest of the month will be incredibly busy in terms of the amount of things that we're going to get crossed off our list and completed so that we can confirm that they're ready for this season.
Yeah. Now, one last thing I want to jump back into Nanaimo. You know, you have a lot with the First Nation. You do a lot with the First Nations there, and part of that's been they did a logo for Nanaimo with the owl. The night owl is also part of that indigenous culture that is there for the First Nations. Are they going to be actively involved in that opening? In that opening series that you have and throughout like the year and the years to come?
Yeah, we have something in mind planned that we're going to keep a secret for now. And we'll keep a secret till it happens that night, actually, that will, I think, bring the our First Nations involvement even more to the fore and in a meaningful and impactful way. It's something that's very important to me, important to our staff, and important to the community that we make sure that we're talking about those issues. And you're not up here in BC or up here in Canada, but reconciliation is a major topic in our communities here. And it's time for some of the things of the past to be dealt with and put to rest. And acknowledged. There's some things that we're going to do that I think are important for that. And we've appreciated the work that we've been able to do with Chief Wise, with Noel Brown, who designed that Snonamic Night Owl logo. Chris Beveridge did a lot of work with Noel on putting that all together. And, you know, Billy Yoakum and John Allen and the others with the with Snonamic First Nation have just been tremendous to work with. And we're very excited to be able to have that as a cornerstone of our project in Nanaimo. And we want them to know that we're going to be there for a long time. And we hope to make them proud of us.
Exactly. And so while we're on the topic, you brought up Bill and George, I just want to give a shout out to them that I appreciate all their work that they did with us on our podcast series called Cole Ball, which is to talk about the history of baseball in Nanaimo, British Columbia. So if you Nanaimo fans or soon to be Nanaimo fans that listen to this, you want something to go back on and learn the history of baseball, we got a great podcast series called Cole Ball, and that'll give you some great history on baseball in Nanaimo and some history just alone on Nanaimo itself, from the First Nations and the mayor of Nanaimo. So a little aimless plug there for me, but you know, I figure I get it in where I can.
Absolutely.
So, well, that's great, Jim. I appreciate it. everything that you're doing. I'm glad that you've made some time to come on the podcast to talk a little bit about this upcoming season. Last question is, where can we go to find out more on Nanaimo and Victoria and the upcoming season?
Yeah, so the Harbor Cats are at harborcats.com and a very active social media pages that can direct you there as well. But anybody doing the Google can just type in Harbor Cats. Don't forget the U, H-A-R-B-O-U-R-C-A-T-S. I will tell you, Ben, over the years, I've had many an email apparently not make it to me because the U doesn't get added into the email address from prospective players or coaches or whatever the case may be. So a bit of a test for them to make it to the right spot, I guess. But Nanaimo Night Owls is nanaimonightowls.com. I appreciate you're learning how to say Nanaimo, Ben. It's great. You're saying it very, very well. It's you're nailing it now. From the beginning, everybody struggles with that a little bit, but
I did.
Nanaimo is how you say it, and the Night Owls are the team, and we're
slash
excited
bars
about
bars because you have an alternate logo.
That's right. We call it our dessert logo that we're going to wear, and in for a penny, in for a pound, all yellow uniforms that we'll wear for selected games this year. And we're going to get asked all the time if we're going to wear them. And that'll be part of the fun, I think.
Yes. Excellent. Well, Jim, again, thank you so much for taking some time to join me on this episode. I really, really appreciate it. I can't wait for the season. Season starts May 30th. Nanaimo will be in Portland facing the Portland Pickles for their inaugural series. So that's May 31st. The season for the Harbor Cats, does that start on the 31st also?
It does. They start at home against the, what I don't know, those PA lefties, the Port Angeles lefties.
Port Angeles lefties. All right. Yeah. So that's a 3-game series, I'm assuming. It starts on the 31st, which is a Wednesday. So wait, yeah, Wednesday, right? Wednesday, no, Thursday, Friday. Tuesday,
Wednesday, Thursday.
Yes. You know, we get my dates mixed up. So Tuesday, May 31st, catch the Nanaimo Night Owls live here in Portland, Oregon, as they take on the Portland Pickles for their inaugural series. Their inaugural series, people. If you can make it, go see Nanaimo here in Portland. And if you're up in Victoria or you want to go to Victoria, go to Victoria on May 31st. Go see them take on the Port Angeles lefties. That'll do it for this episode of the Diamonds and Roses podcast. As always, I'd like to thank our sponsors, the Baseballism. They make some awesome apparel out there. Great product for the love of the game. And Devo Bat Company. They make some great wooden bats for all you out there. So have a great day wherever you are at. And peace out.